And away we go. All right, chapter 7, looking at page 105. We've got a lot of people on today. This is great. And Mom is back, too, so this is great. Let me pull up my screen share. And I'm having, okay. All right, chapter 7, page 105. We talked about this last time. And I want to do something different because normally I don't go through a lot of scripture. But I want to go through a lot of scripture this time because it is so awesome what he's talking about. So what Nee's going to be saying here in chapter 7, the eternal purpose, he's talking about why we exist. And he just kind of sums it up here. It's the glory, glory, glory. We exist for God's glory. And one of the things that we see in Romans 8, 3:23 is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We talked about this last week. And normally when you see Romans 3:23, you think about the time when we were not saved and that everybody has sinned or whatever. But whenever we fall into sin, no matter what level that we are at, we fall short of the glory of God that he has for us. In fact, as I'm saying that, I was riding my motorcycle yesterday. It was a beautiful day. Oh, it was such a beautiful day. And, you know, somebody did not signal and cut over in my lane again. But I was okay. And God still got glory. So I'm getting a little bit better at this. Nee takes off from page 105 and he runs over to page 106 and he starts talking about the firstborn among many brethren. So what he's doing here is he's saying the primary purpose that God created us and primary purpose for our eternal purpose is to bring God glory. He redeemed us so that we would bring him glory. He goes into this next section and he says how we get that glory through Christ. So he goes out to continue to prove to us that we are built for his glory. So he talks a little bit about Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 18, and then again in 29 and 30. And he kind of highlights that there. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, but it's in the text over on page 107. Oh, 106. But in Romans 8, 16 and 17 and 18, he says, whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his son. So we are saved to be in the image of his son. We are his disciples. That he might be firstborn among many brethren, whom he foreordained, them he also called, and whom he called, he also justified. You might want to highlight that. Justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. So as you look at this, there's a sequence here. Do you see the sequence? And I think I heard Al's bride say, justified, glorified, justified, glorified. What was God's objective, according to Nee, it was that his son, Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren, all of whom should be conformed to his image. Whom he justified, he also glorified. And then he also adds, and I highlight it, to make Christ the firstborn son among many glorified sons. And then he says, let's look at this more carefully. So before we start looking at this more carefully, I want us to understand, because as I was looking at this a couple days ago, I'm like, there's a sequence of events. And that's one of the things I want to bring out. And Nee's kind of alluding to it here. We know that because we know it from the feast. So what feast or what step is it that takes us to this the glory of God being revealed, his awesomeness being revealed fully to us? What steps in the feast process do we kind of see that at? Let me try this. Let me give you the definition of glory, because I was looking that up, and glory means honor, fame, beauty, to take pride or pleasure in, praise. And then I saw someplace else that I thought was very interesting when I looked it up. Sometimes you look at it from Old Testament glory to New Testament glory. So it had two different things. Glory was like a substance, but glory was also associated with praise or with honor. So as we look at the steps, where do we see God being glorified or more truly, more fully revealed? Where is it that we can really start to praise God with a new spirit?
After we have repented.
I like that. So, okay, this is good. This is a good review. So if you, I know nobody has it, but if you ever go back and look at the matrix for the feast, there's a lot of different places in Scripture where we see those feasts lining up or whatever. One of them is Leah's children and the names of Leah's children. Do you remember Leah's children's name? And what they meant? I think I don't have my sheet in front of me, in fact. But I think it's Reuben was the first one, which means God hears. I think Levi was the second one, or Simeon was the second one. You got Reuben, Simeon, Levi. I may have this out of order, but it's somewhere in Genesis. But do you know who the fourth son was?
Praise.
Judah. Judah was the fourth son. Judah means praise. To bring God glory is to also praise him or to brag about him. He's the fourth son. That's also the fourth step in the feast. And so, yes, as Susan said, you must go through recognizing that there's a need. Then you got to recognize that repentance. I'm putting down the old person. Then you got to recognize I'm walking in newness of life. And then that glory starts to become revealed. I'll give you another example. When did God's glory and his awesomeness get revealed to the children of Israel during this whole Exodus thing? When they were in Egypt?
The promised land.
There is a glory in the promised land, but before the promised land, he still revealed his essence and his glory and his awesomeness. Oh my goodness, you are Bible students. Ah, after the parting of the Red Sea, then came the song of Moses. So there's praise there. All right. So the parting of the Red Sea, that's step three. But when they get to Mount Sinai in Exodus 19.
Right. When God revealed himself to Moses and wrote the Ten Commandments.
Yes. Okay. So that is step four, because that's Pentecost, which is the fourth feast. Now, I bring you to all of that, and I remind you of all of that to let you know that in order to bring God glory, you got to go through these steps if you want to do it the right way. That makes sense? So when we're talking about, you know, our primary purpose is to bring God glory, bring God glory, bring God glory, we want to make sure that we go through the proper steps so that we're truly bringing God glory. Otherwise, if we, oh my God, what would happen if we know that the end of or the primary purpose of our life and our walk with Christ is to bring him, is to bring the Father glory? What happens if we skip the first three steps and try to shoot for the mark?
Then we're not bringing him glory. We're only bringing it on ourselves.
And so it is very, and I'm going to go back to what Susan said, it is critical that we understand what he's saying here. We have to first be justified, and then we're able to pursue glorifying God. All right. Oh, do I need to give you another scripture? I know it lines up with the feast. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's step one. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. That's step two, that putting down stuff. He restores my soul. That's step three, resurrection. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For, all right. So if you haven't figured out by now that you got to walk through these steps in order to be able to properly be in position to bring him glory, I don't know what else I can tell you. Let's go back to what Nee is saying here. Watchman Nee is saying you have to be justified. Well, let me ask you a question. How do you get justified? What is justified? Justified means you are in right standing with God. So how do I get justified?
Humble yourself.
You go through the steps.
Repentance.
Absolutely. So when you go through the first three steps, you are justified. And what Nee is saying is when you know that Christ died for us and you reckon that it applies to you, then you are taking on the image of Christ. You accept Christ into your life. Almost that communion thing again. I accept his life and I give him mine. And so now I have the power of the Son of God because I'm in his image, and now I'm walking in that power. Now I am justified because I'm in right standing, and God does not see me. He sees the blood. He sees his work that's on me and in me, and now I'm able to move forward and give him glory. All right? So I just want to make sure when you see him saying, hey, even the scripture is showing you are justified first, and then comes the glorification part. All right. So he says, let us look at this more carefully. And I highlighted here, the divine purpose in creation and redemption was that God should have many children. He wanted us. I like how he said this because he said, you know, Christ is God's only begotten son, which means he was the only one. But through his work on the cross and resurrection from the grave, now he is the first fruit of many sons. So God's ultimate purpose is that he have many sons. All right, many sons who are in the image of Christ. Christ never did anything apart from the Father and to bring him glory. So now if we are in the image of Christ, what are we made to do? Bring him glory. So this is encouraging because God wants us to be his children. All right, he makes mention of the prodigal son, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that, but one of the good things that I see when I look at the prodigal son is that he talks about things being lost. He said a lot of times we focus on what the son lost, the prodigal lost. But what he's saying here is that the father lost something. So when you look at it from the father's perspective, the point is my son was lost and is found. I don't know why my computer is acting up. All right, good. All right, I think we're good. It's not a question of what the son suffers, but what the father loses. He is the sufferer. That's just a different perspective of looking at those stories in Luke 19. Let me ask this question as well. As I was looking at Luke 19, you remember the prodigal son? Everybody remembers the prodigal son. When was the prodigal son justified? Oh, so he went through the steps. So as he humbled himself, recognized his need, repented, did the prodigal son repent?
Yes.
When?
When he came back to his father.
Yeah. So when he left what he was doing, got out of the pig pen, changed his mind about the pig pen, and started to make his way back to the father. All right. Step two. He gets to the porch. The father runs off the porch, meets him, and is he in right standing with the father then? does he have new life and new hope?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he does. All right. Now, does he start to bring the Father glory after that? And does he receive some of the glory?
Yeah.
Yes. So it's that justification first, and then the glory comes after that. All right. Okay. Now, I don't know how far I'm going to get on this, because this is some important stuff right here. All right. The purpose of God fulfilled in his bringing many sons to glory, he makes reference to Hebrews 2 and 10, and we'll go back to that. God, he says here, is seeking full-grown sons and daughters. What does he mean by full-grown sons and daughters, you think? So,
maturity.
So we're looking for maturity. Absolutely. We don't. Okay. I was watching Sanford and Son last night. I mean, that's one of my favorite shows. On Saturday night, starting from 7 o'clock to whatever on OWN TV, you get to watch Sanford and Son marathons or whatever. And if anybody remembers the show Sanford and Son, Lamont was like 30-something years old and still living at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Al's got that look like, man, it never happened in my house. But anyway, because dads kick you out. Now, so dads kick you out. Moms let you in, dads kick you out. All right. So you're looking for full-grown sons. You're looking for your kids to be able to, hey, it's great for a visit if they get stuck for a while. Yeah, come on back home. But we're looking for you to be able to be fully matured and land on your feet. God is looking for full-grown sons. He wants them to share his glory. And he also puts his glory onto us. All right. So, Nee goes on to say, God's goal in many sons, that's his expression of sonship. How could he bring that about? By justifying them and then by glorifying them. So, again, we see the sequence. First, he justifies us and then he glorifies us. The sun shines on us and now we're a reflection of the sun. All right. We're like little stars. All right. So when he's seeking full-grown sons, he's looking for maturity. What do you think that means when he's talking maturity then? So I said, what do you think he means when he's looking for full-grown sons? You said maturity. What does maturity look like? What do we mean by being more mature?
Obedience.
Okay, so you got obedience, absolutely.
Deep faith. Be like Jesus.
All right, be like Jesus. All right, now you guys are just throwing stuff out there. Obedience was good. Just be like Jesus. Okay, all right, Jimmy. All right, I got you. All right. If you're a parent and your children are obedient, does that bring you glory?
Yeah.
Do they get glory in return?
Yes.
Absolutely. So I like the answer of obedience. Not that I don't like the answer of being like Jesus, because that's exactly right. Jesus was obedient, so the answer is not an incorrect answer. All right. So don't forget, all the answers that you throw out there, it's still about the glory. Now, I wrote down a whole bunch of scriptures, and I was going to read them last week, but I didn't get around to doing it. Now I'm looking for my Bible. I'm just going to read some scriptures to you that reflect glory, and then I'm going to stop on one particular scripture that I think is going to be very poignant, and it's going to tie back to the feast. So I'm working from the Old Testament to the New, and one of my scriptures is Psalm 3:3. What's Psalm 3:3? Psalm 3:3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. So my glory is tied to the glory of the Father, because the Father is glorified. I'm happy. I get glory too, because I'm a reflection of him. Look again. I got Psalm 104:31. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. when we see that the glory of the Lord will endure forever and the Lord shall rejoice in his works, what's one of God's greatest works in our life?
Salvation.
Absolutely. So we're his workmanship. And so by continuing to grow in maturity in our faith, we continue to bring God glory. All right. I'm moving on now. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 2 and verse 13 I've got written out. So Matthew 6, verse 2 says, therefore, when thou hast done thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. So we got to be very careful when we're doing ministry that we don't do it for our glory or for the praise of men, but that we're doing it for the glory of God. How can we be ensured that when we do a work for the Lord, that we're not doing it for the glory of man? How can we be sure that we don't make that mistake?
Our motives have to be pure.
How can we make sure that our motives are pure? If you people don't say, go through the steps, I don't know what I'm going to pull my doggone hair at.
Go through the steps.
All right. When you humble yourself, that makes sure that you're not trying to lift yourself up. All right. I know it's deep, but it's a simple calculation and equation. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, glory. All right, you got it? Everybody got that. 1, 2, 3, glory. 1, 2, 3, glory. All right. Verse 13. I know you people are doing this on purpose to me. All right. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. All right, moving along. Let's take a look at John chapter 17, verse 22 and 24. John 17, 22 and 24. It says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, speaking of Christ, even so have I sent them into the world. And for thy and for their sakes I sanctify myself. I set myself apart that they may also might be sanctified through the truth. Why do I have this? Oh, down to 22. I'm reading the wrong verse. All right. Verse 21. That they may all be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one with us. So when we are justified, what are we? We are one with Christ. All right. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one. He died to give us glory.
Pastor Adam prayed for unity this morning.
Yes, he did. Oh, I thought that was awesome that he prayed for all the churches. Yep. All right. Take a look. I'm almost done. Take a look at Romans 6 and 4. Romans 6 and 4 says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, that oneness, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Why do I have that in? Oh, I'm reading the wrong thing. That's 7 and 4. 6 and 4. All right. I'm sorry, 6 and 4. Therefore, we are buried. All right, here we go. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, step 3, by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life, bringing him glory. And that was Romans 6 and 4. All right, Romans 8 we already talked about. He talks about that. Okay, here's 1 Corinthians 1, 29 through 31. That no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh should glory in his presence. How can we make sure that flesh does not glory in his presence? Thank you. But of him ye are in Christ Jesus, of who God is made us unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. All right? So follow the steps. You won't make that mistake. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, yeah, this is a long one. I don't want to read all of this. But in your spare time, you can read 1 Corinthians 41 through 50. That ain't so bad. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Mark that down. 1 Corinthians 15 and 42 and 43, because Nee's going to go right into that in the next section. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. This is the whole step two, burying the old guy. It is raised. It was sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is raised in glory. So when we're justified, we bring glory. All right, it is sown in a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Christ quickens our spirit because he puts his life inside of us. And so it is written. Oh, wait a minute. I read that. Oh, howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So whenever people cut you off in traffic, your first response is usually the natural. Make sure that you bury that and that your response that comes out is the spiritual. All I did was shake my finger at the guy. And then I realized he's still in the car, I'm still on a motorcycle, so I better leave him alone. All right. The first man is of the earth, earthy, Egypt. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as the heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. I think that's what I want to. Now I say this, verse 50, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So flesh has to die. Can't bring that old stuff into your new season. Cannot. The old hurt, the old disappointment. Even the hurt that you suffered 5 minutes ago. Can't let that keep you from where God wants you to go. Because you'll be in the flesh, or the flush, as Al likes to say. All right. Flush. All right. 2 Corinthians 10, 17 through 18. It says, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Galatians 6, 13 and 14. On whom ye also trusted, and yet you heard the word. Wait a minute, is that right? No, that's not Galatians 6. That's Galatians 1. That's Galatians. Wait. All right. Galatians 13, 14. All right. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, I've read a lot of these scriptures. I'm skipping through some of them. Colossians 3, that's another good one to look at. 1 Peter 4:14 says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken, but on your part he is glorified. Glory rests on us. I want to give you one more scripture, and I want you to turn there with me. It's in 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Well, it started 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face beholding us as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. When were we changed into the image of God?
When we were saved.
Absolutely. Well said. When we were saved, which means when we are justified. So we are all changed into the same image of from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we move from glory to glory. How do, okay, wait a minute, let me just do this. How do we get to glory? When we got saved. Now we move from glory to glory by what force?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Now, you got to look at that verse real carefully. I don't know if anybody's ever looked at that verse and seen that. I haven't, because I just saw it when I just read it, that I realized that we go from glory to glory through the Holy Spirit. All right? So, I used to teach this in the feast, because the feast take you from one step, one level of relationship with God to the next level of relationship with God. So it's almost like the Beatitudes. Happy are you, blessed are they, happy are you, happy are you. It's another level of happiness. So as you go through the steps of the Beatitudes, which line up with the steps of the feast in Leviticus 23, you get to another higher level of happy, so that your happy is fulfilled. I also have been teaching that these steps will take you from glory to glory. Each step that you take takes you to another level, a higher level of glory. I'm going somewhere here. So when I looked at one commentary, it said, well, that glory means moving from the Old Testament glory to the New Testament glory, and the New Testament glory is greater than the Old Testament glory. Great. Well, that still lines up with my feast, because the first four feasts line up with the first coming of Christ, all right, and the prophecy. And now the latter glory points to the end of Christ. And so I've been waiting for this for like 3 days. I read this about 2 or 3 days ago, and a person came into my mind. I'm looking at him right now. And so I've just been waiting for this. I hope he doesn't mess this up for me, because I want to use this as an example. Yes, he is the one. So, Mr. Roger, and congratulations. Because she knew I was going there. So congratulations. I saw Gabe, his picture as one of our graduating seniors. Congratulations on that.
Amen.
Auburn, going to Auburn? All right. Absolutely. So, Mr. Roger, looking at the definition of glory, pride, praise, honor, when were you first proud of Gabe?
The day he survived his birth.
He almost didn't.
Woo! Wow. Good. Wait a minute. So he... Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is really the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, because Roger has been on my mind for like the last 2 or 3 weeks. And sometimes when I get something going, the Lord will take me in another direction or whatever. But Roger was the one I thought about this. But it applies to all of it. I was thinking about Lee, too. I want you to hear what Roger said, because you need to understand how this works in the natural, so you understand the spiritual ramifications and really understand what Nee is saying. But not so much what Nee is saying, what the scriptures are saying. So here's a natural example. Mr. Roger says that he was first proud of, or gave his son, gave him glory when he was born. And that was a miracle in and of itself, because he almost didn't make it. I didn't get no amens, no nothing. Okay, here we go. Here we go. He first...
Amen.
All right. Do you see in the natural what's happening in the spiritual here?
Yes.
So if man, this is why God uses these analogies, because we can't understand this. It doesn't make any sense. And we can't really understand it. But he gives us these things in the natural, and we can understand when he says, Abba, Father, you know, when we pray, you know, we pray our Father, we got an example. So we who are fathers or whatever, we can look at this, because here you go. Roger says, I was first proud of Gabe when he was born, because that was a miracle in and of itself. Take that. When do you think we first brought God glory?
The day we were saved.
Absolutely. And that was a miracle in and of itself. And I'll tell you, I don't know if I almost didn't get saved. And so just the mere fact that when I became, wait a minute, let me ask a question. Mr. Roger, you said he brought you glory when he was born, when he survived birth. Why? What were you thinking to think that, man, this brings me honor and glory?
Made me appreciate what God had done for me and Lauren, and that brings him glory when I thank him for what he's done for me in my life.
Absolutely, that's another way.
It was a new life coming into my existing life.
Woo! I gotta write that down. There is glory when a new life connects to an existing life. He wants many sons. What's the Great Commission? Make more sons and daughters and connect their new life to his life so that he can have more sons and daughters. Let me ask you one more thing, Roger, and I'm going to leave you alone. Al, you got kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to mess with you, Al. You've been nice today. I'm going to mess with Lee and Lisa. Lee, you got a son?
Yes.
All right. So you got a son. Roger, you've met their son, right?
I may have.
Yeah, he's shown up in class. He's there. Yeah, he got the little bucket head. You know, he's all right. Yeah, he's there. Because you know Lee, I'm sure you love Lee's son.
Yeah.
But when Lee's son was born, if you knew that Lee's son was born, would that bring you much glory?
Yes.
Explain.
It's a miracle that I see that God has done.
Ah, I don't want to talk to you anymore. You're too deep. All right, that's good. I like Gabe. I like Lee's son, too. I like all our kids that are associated with this class. In fact, some of them are online here. And when they get saved, and Roger's answer is a very deep answer. When we see our kids coming to the Lord, that brings us glory. That brings all of us glory. That brings the class glory. That brings the church glory. That brings God glory. So Roger's answer is very deep. But let's just keep this in the natural perspective. I would say that Roger, if he wasn't so spiritual, he would say, well, Lee can have his son. That's great. But I got Gabe, and Gabe gives me more glory. I don't want to mess with Roger anymore. I want to talk to you guys. Why would Roger feel that he's got more glory and honor to his son, Gabe, than he would anybody else's kid?
Because he's more connected to his son.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It's his of his flesh.
Oh, because it's his son. Because his son belongs to him. Wait a minute. Have you ever heard this? I did. I'm just going to go old school because I'm old school. So I went to my dad one day and said, hey, Dad, I need some new shoes. I need some Converse All-Stars. All the other kids have Converse All-Stars. I need some All-Stars, too. They're talking about me like a dog in school. Give me some Chuck Taylors. And he said, I don't care about what the other kids are wearing. You belong to me. Oh, here was this, and I just shared this or whatever, because, you know, I'm not, I don't have a prejudice bone in my body. But when I was growing up, you know, I'm like, hey, it was like the, you know, the 70s, and King hadn't been too long shot, and, you know, it was all the Black Power thing and all the rest of this stuff or whatever. And so, man, I went to a junior high school that was 98% Black. And you just didn't hang out with the white kids, or they'd call your name. And I went to a PTA meeting with my parents or whatever, and and they invited a white couple to come down there with them. I'm like, oh my God, these kids are going to see me coming down here. We got a white couple in the car, man. When I got out of the car, I bolted. They didn't see me the rest of the night till it was time to go home. And my dad pulled me off to the side after that was over with and says, what's going on with that? I'm like, Dad, you don't understand. You can't, at that school, you can't hang around with white folks. And he goes, you're going to get on the telephone and you're going to call that couple up and you're going to apologize to them. And my dad grew up in the South. Pickens County. Sharecropper. He said, hey, I don't care about what those, well, he had a particular name for him. I don't care about what those other kids do. They don't belong to me. You belong to me. And you are going to represent me well. That took care of all of that. That's in the natural. Understand the spiritual. Who do we belong to? We belong to God. And
Chuck, God. It's like Hancock says, we got to know whose we are.
I belong to Jesus. I belong to God. And God doesn't care what the world says. He don't care about any of the other kids. If the other kids want to go crazy, let them go crazy. If the other kids want to be disobedient, let the other kids go disobedient. But I belong to God. I'm here to make them proud. Okay, one more thing. I lied. I'm going to pick on Roger one more time. Roger says that his son brought him glory when he was born. I'm going to put words on that. Because he saw the miracle. He saw the life connected to his life. And Gabe belongs to Roger. Notice this. Roger says that he loved Gabe even before Gabe cut the grass. Even before he cleaned his room. So let me ask this question, Mr. Roger. Gabe brought you glory and honor when he was born. When I was sitting up in the stands and he was wrestling, getting ready to pin his opponent, did he bring you glory then?
Yes, he did.
Was it more glory than what he gave you before? Was it a higher level of glory?
Well, it could be because it's current.
Ah, I like that too. It's current. When he goes to school, is he still giving you glory? Are you expecting him to give you glory? Are you expecting him to give you a higher level of glory than what he gave you when he was pinning people to the mat?
Yes.
Oh, good gracious almighty. I know we spent a lot of time on this. This is what God wants us to do, and this is where Christians fall short of the glory of God. There's a higher level of glory that's expecting of us because we are His children, and we need to graduate from one level of glory to another level of glory because of all that, because we belong to Him and He's expecting more.
Lauren, it goes back to the full-grown sons and daughters.
It's exactly why I spent so much time on this, because a lot of, okay, let me just ask the question. Do you see Christians out there really fulfilling? Do we as Christians typically fall short of the glory of God?
Yes.
Man.
Every day.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes, sir.
In the
in our spiritual walk, there should not be the term, well, that's good enough.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah. I lived my Christian life like that a long time. Y'all be lucky I went to church. I went to church today. You better be lucky I went to church. I'm doing better than, you know. Yeah. So God justifies us. We have glory, but because I love, because of his great sacrifice, I want to continue every day to not fall short of making him proud and bringing him glory. All right? And just like I want to bring glory to my natural father, I want to bring glory to my heavenly father. All right. So that takes us to page 109 and the grain of wheat. And we got 1 minute, but it doesn't last that long, and this is going to be real easy to figure out. So let me just do it. So he takes us to John 12:24. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it bears much fruit." And then he asks the question, who is that grain? It's the Lord Jesus. So now we take another natural example with spiritual application. How can we bring God more glory, and how can we bear much fruit?
Continuing to go deeper with him through his word.
Yes.
We have to die. We have to say no to our what we think is the right way. We have to die to that. What our own desires are.
So until you do the same thing that the grain of wheat is, all right, bury it, right? It can't produce spiritual fruit. In your marriage, how can you produce spiritual fruit? Something has to die. All right? Something's got to die. Jimmy, you better sleep with one eye open, buddy. Jimmy's going to sleep with one eye open.
Always. Sometimes on the couch.
When you bury yourself, when you bury that pride, you bury that hurt, you can't help. The purpose of you going down is not to stay down. It's for you to produce fruit. And then, just like Deb said, how do I produce more fruit? It's through the pruning. And you produce more fruit. All right. We are almost done.
This thought just came to me, though. We're so often, as Christians, we're like this. Instead of burying our own desires and, you know, our flesh, and then letting God bear fruit, you know, through that death of ourself, we just sit and try to squeeze out the fruit.
I think it's in Galatians 3. And we're going to close up here now. I think it's in Galatians 3. We can do it next week. I think Paul talks to the Galatians and he says, hey, you started in the spirit. How are you going to, why would you go back into the flesh? I think that's Galatians 3. I'm looking here. By his death and resurrection, many brethren have been brought into God's family. He is not ashamed to call them brethren. He talks about Hebrews 2:11. So we'll pick up at the choice that confronted Adam. But I think you brought up a very good point as we get ready to close. I don't think we have a problem going through the planting process as Christians, this class. I don't think we have an issue with that. We got to know by now that hey, you know, we find out we have a need. We can't do this by ourselves. We bury ourselves and God gives us new hope, and we're planted, and we're up, and we got hope, and we got everlasting life, and we got the Holy Spirit, and we're led by the Spirit. But then Deb said something, we got to keep connected in order to produce fruit. I had to deal with that this week. I'm doing the prison ministry stuff, and man, I got all these great ideas. I sent some stuff to Lee. I'm going to try to send it out to you guys, and I'm like, man, I got all these great ideas, all these things that the people can do. By the way, if anybody knows anything about construction, we got a construction need in the prison ministry. And I'm throwing all this stuff out there. And all of a sudden, it came back to my realization, God bless you with this position in prison ministry. But the fruit behind that is not going to happen in and of my own efforts. I need the Lord. So I stopped praying because I started getting fearful. I'm like, man, I'm putting all this stuff out here and nobody's jumping on it. And nobody's volunteering. Nobody's jumping on it or whatever. I feel like I'm kind of doing it on my own or whatever. But I know what to do. And I got all these great ideas. And I'm throwing these ideas out there. And just kind of as I'm looking at this, I'm like, you know what? You started out real well. But you better be very careful that you don't try to squeeze fruit. Susan, you said it very well, that you don't try to squeeze fruit out of this in and of your own self. Just because it makes sense to you, just because you know God has planted you, that doesn't mean that now you have to leave God. Because the same way that God brought me into the kingdom and justified me, it's the same way that I'm going to have to need him to bring the fruit out of me. I just need to make sure that I'm planted and I stay attached to the vine.
A really close friend of Deb and Lauren's and I, who is with the Lord now, she always said, whatever you start in the flesh, be ready to finish it in the flesh.
And
what you start in the Spirit will be finished in the Spirit by the Lord.
So that goes back to that Galatians 3 thing. We need to make sure that as we're moving forward and we got all this wisdom, we've got all these scriptures, that we don't try to squeeze fruit or we don't try to squeeze glory out on our own. If I'm the father and I see my son cutting grass and I taught him how to cut grass and he's cutting grass the way I want him to cut grass, and all of a sudden, instead of doing rows, he's doing some kind of funny circles and patches and all the rest of this stuff, he's still cutting the grass, but he ain't bringing me glory. Because he's doing it for his own and he's not doing it for me. I need to make sure that what I'm doing is for God's glory. All right, we're 6 minutes over, but we landed at a good place. I promise you, no, I'm not going to do that. We will probably finish this chapter. There's a couple other neat things or whatever, and I'm glad we stopped here. Because here's one of the things that Nee does as we get ready to do the choice that confronted Adam. The neat thing about this book is Nee takes basic scriptures. Oh, and I got to click on that thing about the tree of life thing or whatever, because he takes basic scriptures and stories that we know, and he, when you read them, you'll get a different perspective that you hadn't seen before. So when we start talking about this tree of life and these two trees, when you read this section of the chapter, you're going to see a different perspective that you hadn't seen before, and it helps change your life and understand where we're going here.
Watch that tree alive. Watch it.
All right. We'll do so. All right. Any last words before we get out of here?
That Galatian verse is 3:3.
3 what?
3:3.
Yes, it's early. Yep. Galatians 3:3. Read it.
The verse that links back to what you were doing with Roger in the physical.
Yes.
And against the spiritual is Romans 1:20.
Do you have those? Can you read those?
Galatians 3:3 says, "And are you so foolish, having done in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?"
Woo! If you never read that scripture before, that's a powerful scripture, and that's what we do sometimes. All right.
And then Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse."
Gotcha. So that's using a natural example. Ah, did everybody understand that? I know we're over time, but did everybody understand what she just read? even if you don't understand the spiritual perspective, Lauren, that's good. Even if you don't understand, even if you're not that deep and you don't understand the spiritual perspective, you see the handiwork of God and the purpose of God through the natural things that happen in life. If you look at things that are happening in the natural, it'll give you insight to the spiritual. That's why, very good, Lauren. That's why I was so excited about using Roger in this thing or whatever, and he didn't let me down because I can take that natural example and his natural love that I observed he was so proud of that boy when I was there. And I don't know if he was a big wrestling fan before then. But that's how I want to live my life as a parent. That's how I want to live my life as a. That's how I want to live my life as a child of God. Take the natural; it will help you identify what God is doing in the spiritual. Man, He loves us so much. Let me pray for us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let me close my. Let me hold up here.